gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you.
Welcome to our Faith Walking Meditations. We are continuing today the conversation about prayer. We're exploring the life model, or one of the several resources of the life model, at this way of connecting with God through prayer that involves this learning from spirituality and kind of psychology, even biology, right? Thinking of the brain and how things work with us. As we often say, we're using the guideline of a little book called The Joyful Journey, listening to Emmanuel. And we have been talking about this proposition, this exercise, this practice about connecting with God. It's a prayer practice, and we have talked about gratitude. We have talked about we will talk about rhyming with God, but pretty much this back and forth, if you want, with God. I am reminded of the picture of having yarn, right, and throwing the ball of yarn one to another and holding the thread and strengthening this connection. So today we're going to talk about a connection. Indeed, this is a matter of connection. So in this section, or in this topic, if you want, we are reminded that we can know a lot about God, and that's good, by the way. It's helpful, it's important, but we won't develop a true connection or intimacy with God unless we have a felt experience of it, right? We often say information is important, but it's not sufficient. It is the experience of living that information that actually produces the learning and, in many ways, the transformation. That's what we usually say in faith walking. We won't be transformed by information alone. We need experience. And in this sense of praying and being with God, we're saying the same thing, or the authors are saying the same thing. It is these experiences of being with God, of being connected to God, that actually is what actually nurtures our souls. I would say it develops our spiritual life. We grow through this not analytical information, but through the experiential life with God. And in the same way, experiences of disconnection with God produce distress, and they produce pain and cynicism and resignation. We get stuck in being disconnected, right? We try to keep connecting with God, and we don't. We can't. And we become cynic about it, and we resign to be alone, and that becomes a cycle. That is a cycle is very painful. So in a way, they become self-fulfilling prophecies, I mean, experiences of disconnection, because I expect that to happen, and that's what I experience, and that's what I expect again, and here we are, living in this sort of darkness. So what produces disconnection? Well, several things. You may think of logistical things and distraction and things like that, but at a deeper level, it is about trauma. It is about unresolved trauma. It's not the only reason, but it's a very common reason that produces this disconnection, because it interferes with this relationship that we have. Think of it. In all kinds of life, if you have experienced trauma, probably you have had you have a lot of challenges relationally, emotionally, spiritually. It happens. It's our brains. It is hard to relate. So trauma, as it is put by the authors of the book, is something that happens by experiences when we were we were left feeling alone and without help. I like the broad definition of trauma. Any experience that we have in which we were left feeling alone, we were left feeling that we don't have help, create this potential of trauma. So when the trauma is not processed, it turns off our capacity of connecting with people, with God. And pretty much this is turn off our capacity to find something positive. It is very hard to connect willingly to something that is negative. In order to a deep connection to take place, we need to be socially feel. In psychology, they talk about social safety, right? Mm-hmm. My tone of voice, my face, my eyes, all those things need to be inviting, bringing peace. So connection happens in a brain that is if you want, that is safe. And when I don't get that, trauma actually turns off. I think the book called Relational Connectors, I think RC, right? Relational connectors make my capacity to connect. So now, how we deal with this? There is a lot of conversation, if you want, about what does it mean to deal with trauma. But in a very oversimplistic way, we start becoming aware of it. Becoming aware of our capacity of connecting being turned off. And this is, if you want, the first step for us to healing. So let's put it that way. I mean, and leave it. We will keep building on this. But how we turn on in prayer, specifically with God. Let's say that we have this trauma that might have been done by people in our lives, and we are this default mode of our capacity to connection for connection to be really off. How can we start doing this or healing this in a safe way? And we can say, well, with God, that seems like a safe place, and we need to. I say that with a lot of respect from some people. It's not easy, but we start by becoming aware and intentionally leaning into positives slowly to connect with God. And you know, in our context of the conversation that we have, we use gratitude. You know, what are the simple things that I can be grateful for today? Rhyming, we will talk more about that next time. So anyway, that is in a nutshell, and this is very complex. That's a short comment. So what are your thoughts about all of this? What do you notice when your capacity of connection is off? What happens in you? What turns this capacity off? How is this for you? How do you reconnect? I'd love to hear, to invite you to share your thoughts. Let's start with you, Trish.
I really like this chapter on this, because this is so applicable in my own life. Trauma, sometimes just reading about trauma is triggering for me, because I have a lot of it. From family of origin stuff, just like all down the line. But in the last probably nine years or so, I've been doing inner work and working on different things within myself to be aware of the different trauma stuff. I work with a therapist for specific episodes and stuff like that. But when it comes to those connections with God, what I've noticed is that I still, no matter how far I am in this journey, I still can find myself reticent at times. And knowing that his presence is with me, But sometimes I feel like he's inviting me to something deeper, and I still pull back. And I know it's because of trauma and lost connection. And it's been historically hard for me to connect with people deeply and for a sustained amount of time. And so that becomes challenging with my relationship to God too. And so, and my tendency when it's off, sometimes it can be triggered by that fight, flight, or freeze. And then I can be in that for a little while. But what helps me get back to it, to connected with God, is some of these practices like journaling or gratitude, or for me, really, silence and solitude have been the biggest help for me. Breathing exercises, becoming aware of my breath. And we've talked about this before, getting in nature. And sometimes if I've been in, especially if I've been inside all day and I haven't gone anywhere, just stepping out into my backyard and looking up into the sky to see how big everything is, I can just feel myself take a deep breath and just like relax and recognize that, for me, recognizing that God is holding creation and that he's in that. So that's kind of what I do to reconnect, but it's a continuing struggle. It's a continual growth process for me.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Trish. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing the struggle. And I think you put that in very good perspective, right? So this is the story of things. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing that I hear is it has gotten better. Mm-hmm. It is a mix of the trauma in your life, and somehow it gets passed also to God. And I think that's a very important aspect. And it is still a struggle. It's not completely done. But you notice things, and you notice also what is helpful in those moments, right?
Yes.
And I believe that indeed is a matter of connection, and more than in the success of performing the prayer with God, the connection with God, mm-hmm. it is in the willingness to return.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And I often have that visual. Well, I'm a very visual person. And so I often have that visual of just literally turning my face back to him. Yeah. And then another visual that I work with is me as his child, just in his lap, so to speak, with his presence all around him. I like in the TPT, they often translate steadfast love of God as his wraparound presence.
Yes.
And I love that because I think about his wraparound presence, and that brings me comfort and brings me peace.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Trish. That seems to be an anchor that's helpful. And well, thank you. Let me ask Brenda, how is this for you, this idea of connection with God, this connection? What creates this connection for you?
Usually what creates disconnection for me is compounding drama. You know, things just, when things start becoming chaotic and completely out of my control, and when it happens all at once, that's usually when it hits me the hardest. Kind of like what's been happening recently, but and then you know, this is, what do you notice in you when the capacity to connect with God is off? I notice immediately I become more anxious, panic driven. I don't necessarily make decisions based on that panic. I've really learned to kind of get that under control much better than I used to. But I noticed that I become, like what you said, cynical. I become very cynical, expecting the worst, instead of trying to just step back a minute and say, you know what, this is going to work out one way or another. You know, it may not work out the way I want it to, but and just accepting whatever may come, you know, the serenity prayer. And I hate when I get in that mode, because it could last for 5 days, you know, or it could, there was a period that lasted 6 months, you know, just getting in that cynical, it just, nothing was good. Nothing felt good, you know? And so that's when I threw myself into art and painting and music and cooking sometimes, you know, whatever it takes to distract my mind from getting a different perspective. But this is what I love about the how do you reconnect part, because I just went through this last week really, really badly. And it was really bad. I mean, scary bad. My thoughts were bad. And when I knew I had to get back to journaling, I had to get to the Bible, not just read the Bible. Because me at that point, it was just words, not penetrating. You know, when you're in that mode of that thought process, reading the Bible isn't going to necessarily give you comfort at that very moment, because your whole perspective is skewed. So, but when I sat down and journaled, and I just journaled and I cried and I spoke to God, I'm telling you, I spent about 2 hours of writing with this messed up thumb. You know, I just kept writing and writing until I could just get it all out. And then I went to, this is what I love. I went to Matthew 5. I was like continuing reading. I have like where I left off reading last time stuff. Now, you know, in Faith Walking, Keep Calm, we've been studying the Beatitudes. I had no clue that I was reading the Beatitudes. I was going in, and I edit the podcast. But what happened was I have the Message Bible, which I love. I've got different versions, but that is one of my favorites. And I had gone to Matthew 5:3-5. And I listened to this. It says, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God in his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less." And I stopped right there and I was like, oh my gosh, it was like a light bulb went off. Cause I literally, my last sentence in that journal was, "God, I cannot take anymore." And when I read those scriptures, they just jumped off the page. They jumped in my spirit. And I instantly said, okay, enough, enough grieving for the day, enough, just get up, go, do. And so I did. That was exactly what I did. I got up, I made banana bread. I started painting. I put all that stuff off for, you know, several weeks. I just quit doing. So that journaling, that's what brings me back to reconnection with God. So otherwise, yeah, just prayer. Yes. But then sometimes you feel like your stuff's falling on deaf ears if you don't see, you know, results immediately. And so I'm having to learn a lot of patience.
Thank you, Brenda, for sharing. Yeah, it's very real for you. I imagine that you grew up probably around a lot of chaos, and that is the part of that produces that disconnection, right?
Most definitely, because you live almost in a constant state of fear of every relationship that you're in, because you don't know if there's a alternative, ulterior motive for somebody friending you.
Yeah.
Like I'm a female who has little to zero female friends just because of a lot of trauma in the past and issues and relationship. And, but yet when I'm sitting at a diner somewhere and I see a group of women laughing and enjoying themselves together, I get deeply sad because I long for that connection.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you for sharing. It's also beautiful to see how you were intentional. You knew how to turn a little bit, you know, at least try to turn on this connection with God. I need to go to his word and acknowledge emotion. So that there is this emptying of my soul, but at the same time, there is this allowing in. That's the connection, right? And you found the space there. life. So thank you for sharing. Sandra, what about you? How this this chapter or this section of the learning is speaking to you?
Yes, thank you, Marcos. It has been very helpful because connection is like one of my core values. Being disconnected has been always very, very painful because I grew up very disconnected from my father. And I created a vow out of that. And then I was disconnected from my husband during my 17 years of marriage. So this connection has been extremely painful for me. And I have always struggled for connection because I know that the disconnection hurts. So I try to be present, extra present for my kids to supply the disconnection from the father. And I try to be connected and try to be present for everybody and help everybody and serve everybody because, you know, this connection is just very painful. It was interesting to read in the book, Metabolize the Pain. And I was thinking, how many people that I see disconnected, like my father and my ex-husband and so many people that disconnect, they just go into the trauma, and then it helped me to have more grace for them and just curiosity to know what's going on. And, you know, my father is 82 and all his life has been like that. And imagine how life could be different if he could get rid of the trauma or just process the pain. But he's extremely, he's very particular. He doesn't talk much and has been always a big gap, emotional gap between three of us, my sister, my two sisters, my brother, all of us. And he's very particular. Thank God he has good help, but we just cannot imagine what's going to happen when he starts getting, you know, to the point like my mother is, that he's probably not going to allow any help and all of that. So, I just try to connect to people, try to connect to my kids. And what I notice when I'm disconnected from God or from them, it's just that I become very uneasy, very anxious, and I feel like I'm in a dangerous zone if I don't connect with God. So I just had to just be still and try to go and journal and process what's going on. If I need to clean a mess with the Lord or with my family or my friends, I just try to clean up quickly, because if I let too much time, it's going to be more difficult. I'm going to have to clean more. So I try to clean up my mess. I try to be more vulnerable, to be more open, and just find out what is going on in me and why I'm getting disconnected. What is also helpful is just remember the words of the Lord and just declare that he's always there, that I will never be alone, that he is with me, who can be against me, and all these scriptures that we have memorized. But I just try to make it real and try to bring those words alive, you know, to make them alive into my life. And I just remember that the Lord is the God of new opportunity and new chances. And one of my favorites is scripture is just in the mornings, that his mercies are new every morning, and like every day is a new opportunity. And if I didn't do too good yesterday, maybe I can do it better today. That gives me a lot of encouragement, and that makes me come back to God and connect with him more and connect with my loved ones better. Thank
you. Yeah, that's great. That's very, very good. Sandra, thank you for sharing your story and also reminding us you are making you're doing a great job in connecting this also with the faith walking, right? And vows. There you go. So there is a level of trauma, right? Big T or small T, but trauma is trauma. It's feeling, using this definition, feeling left alone by ourselves. We are, it's not what happened to us, but the fact that we are alone, nobody processes, and how we have to process alone. So that is, it's good to remember. And sometimes even calling it trauma, right? It is not trying to get a level, but understanding that hurt, that's a wound. And the intentionality, once again, of being self-aware, noticing, this is what's going on in me, this is what happens, and the intentionality to come back. Where are you going to go, right, with this anger, to the crazy cycle of whatever I do? It might be many directions. It might be addiction, it might be depression, it might be anxiety, it might be anger, it might be, you know, explosions of temper. But we have a place to go and to metabolize. And that is how is a picture of this pain being sort of diluted and integrated in our stories. So I think that is a very good. And scripture, again, journaling. You know, in my case, I remember experiences of being alone. You know, the second child also, I didn't have a specific trauma in the sense of abuse or things, but, you know, the sort of emotional absence of people helping me process. So I am very a distancer, right? I isolate, and that is exactly against connection. And I just notice this mode in me that it is more, it's my vow, by the way, it's the logic of my vow, it's the meaning of my vow, right? I don't need you. I don't need this, and I don't need that. I don't need anything. I can be by myself. And that is a picture of me, right? But that kills connection, kills the idea of connection. And at some point, coming to know the Lord, feeling and discovering, having an experience of a safe place with the Lord was transformative. But I still notice this mode, even with the Lord. Right? That moment, I don't want to even go there. I don't want to connect because that has been my default. It takes intention, again, to turn on that part of me that is open to listen, open to consider, right? The positive. Think of that, and I leave you with those thoughts. We don't disconnect because we focus on the negative. And some of that negative was very real in our past, and there is no fixing of it. We're not trying to justify or pretend that it didn't happen, but we're just only fixing on the negative. Having the curiosity, and you know, they say curiosity and surprise are like the clutch of the nervous system. Right? When, you know, the sympathetic nervous system is kind of getting all anxious, and the clutch that activates the other mode that is the parasympathetic, where we can slow down, we can take a deep breath, reflect, and we become socially safe, able to connect. The clutch, they say, is surprise, is curiosity, is openness. Could it be something positive here? And we need to return to it, because we live so much in our minds that you know, why am I here again? You know, always here. And I wish I would have an answer, but we are. You know, probably that is the reality of the consequence, if you want, of the trauma and the pain, is that we found ourselves in that place often, more often than other people, maybe. But that is not the whole deal. The whole deal is not what I'm here, but how can I get out of here, right? And how can I turn this? How can I open myself to that thing that helps me? Is there something positive into this? So we have so far the idea that is a matter of connection, that the idea that we initiate this exercise with gratitude, and that opens, turns on those relational circuits, right, that we want to have with God. And in our next conversation, we will talk about rhyming or these thoughts that somehow are going to be like God. We need to align, you know. I don't need to argue. I just need to believe, right? May the Lord fill us with joy and peace in believing, right? And there's something in me that can turn into that way. So thank you. Thank you very much, friends. It's always good to see you and to hear the stories. I love that we are getting to know more about each other in this way that we are doing this. So let me finish by sharing this blessing that we say to each other every time that we finish. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. Till I'm looking through the eyes of love. Till I'm looking through the eyes